Good morning. I'm so excited, but I'm terrified. Just saying. I've been working on this for the last month in my head. but to get it all in paper, it's hard to narrow it down. But anyway, today we're talking about hope. And a lot of times we think of the word as hope as, I hope I get a good grade, or I hope the sun shines today, or I hope something like that. But hope goes so much deeper than that. And we're going to talk about it in the biblical sense. And I can't wait to share what I've learned from God's word. My words of the year this year have been dig deeper. And I'm telling you, when you dig deeper, it just makes you want to dig a little more deeper. It wants you to keep on digging. And I just can't stop studying God's word. It's awesome. I love it. So today we're talking about a lady whose name is actually a book of the Bible, and her mother-in-law. How many of you could say without a doubt that your mother-in-law is a good thing in your life? Maybe we don't want to admit. Yeah, mine is an awesome mother-in-law. Sometimes we have a negative connotation with our mother-in-law, but I don't want to embarrass anybody here. But anyway, but when we read the book of Ruth, a lot of times we focus on the main character, and the main character is Ruth, of course. But today, I want to focus on the mother-in-law. Does anybody know the name of Ruth's mother-in-law? Naomi. All right. So are you guys with me? Okay. So most of the time when you hear of Naomi, you think bitter, because later in the book, the Bible refers to her as being bitter. Like, she refers to herself as becoming bitter because she lost everything. But today, I want you to know that Naomi actually has a message of hope for us. So, I submit to you, this is so important, that without Naomi, there could not have been a Ruth. Did you hear me? Without a Naomi, there could not have been a Ruth who followed God with all of her heart, who found the true and living God. Ruth had to have somebody to point her to the true God. And that hero, the unsung hero, we might say, is Naomi. So, if we're talking about mother-in-laws, I can't talk to you about a mother-in-law in the Bible without talking about my own mother-in-law, right? So I want to show you a picture of my mother-in-law. Her name is Mary. And last night I gave her a quick call to ask her, because she's told me the whole time that I've known her, she said, I prayed for you. Before my husband got married to you, I prayed for you. That's what we should be doing for all of our kids, right? Start praying for their spouses, even when they're babies. When Olivia, while she's little, start praying for a future husband. Are you guys doing that? I'm just saying, start praying for their future mate. And that's what my mother-in-law did. She will always tell you she has some of the best daughter-in-laws and son-in-law that she could ever ask for. But she prayed them in. Mary, she's never been called really sweet. She's kind of loud. She is almost totally opposite of my own mother, so she was kind of a shock whenever I got to meet her. but she is one of the most thoughtful and caring people I know. She's always sending out cards, not just to her family for birthdays. She never forgets a birthday. But not just to family, but to people in the church or people that she feels need a card. She has this guy that calls her from prison, and she prays with them and sends them cards all the time. I mean, she is just a caring, loving, thoughtful person. it's true that she has a different kind of personality, but I've never doubted her love for me. So from the start, these were the prayers that she prayed for me before I met my husband. Okay, listen carefully. This is crazy. She prayed, for some reason, that I would be able to do crafts. I love doing arts and crafts. Ask my Sunday school class. Their fingers are now glued together, but I love doing crafts, and I recruited them this morning to help me. but she also prayed I would love kids. Why she prayed for that, I have no idea. But I love kids. When I went to Bible school, my sign in sign language was Sister Karen, because I love kids. I love kids. I don't know why I didn't major in education, but I didn't. But anyway, so she also prayed that I would play piano. These are kind of off-the-wall things, right? I actually do play piano. I don't play nearly as well as Pastor Whitney, so I just don't have to do it here. So, Thank you, Jesus. But she also, before she even knew me and knew that I would be from New Mexico, she prayed that I would know how to speak Spanish. What? Okay, so I'm from New Mexico, and it's a great disappointment to her, but I do not speak Spanish. I know a little bit, but not very much. So maybe one day I'll make that dream come true. But one of her favorite sayings, I have to tell you, is sit your carcass with Mrs. Farkas. When you come in the house and one of Tim's friends will come over or something, and she'll sit your carcass with Mrs. Farkas. Okay. Another one is, do you want a cup of tea? And that means much more than a hot beverage. That means sit down, let's catch up. Whether we drink a cup of tea or not, it means come on, let's catch up on things. So one of the funniest things is when she wants to order a pizza or anything online, she calls me and she says, we need pizza, can you order a Domino's? You know, it's the craziest thing at Domino's, they won't let you call and order in anymore. You have to do it online. Plus, there are coupons. So I go online on my phone and I order her pizza, and then they go and pick it up. So it's just funny. She will not have a microwave in her house. She doesn't have internet. She is just stuck in the old ways, but she calls me for certain things, if there's a craft or anything like that. So I just love my mother-in-law. She is awesome, and I'm so grateful for her. She prays for me and my family and has had a huge influence on our lives. She continues to pray. She prayed that I would love my husband as much as he loves me. She continues to pray, and I'm so grateful for her influence. So I've read the book of Ruth multiple times in preparing for this message, and the thing that really stood out to me is that Naomi was the glue that held her family together. Glue. You know, don't you guys know that if your mom wasn't there, things would kind of fall apart? would there be birthday parties? Would there be get-togethers, family reunions, all that fun stuff? What about appointments? Getting to the doctor, all those fun things. Like, the mom does all that stuff, shopping, remembering birthdays and all that. So some things without the mom would just not happen. I believe the story of Ruth and Naomi can offer each of us a message of hope. This true account of the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is truly a Cinderella story in which the girl ends up being rescued by a wealthy man who is full of integrity. Did you ever think of it that way? There's even a shoe involved. How many of you know that? There's a shoe in this story. Pretty cool. I mean, I know I do like my Hallmarks, and I love when the story ends well and all that. So this is a true Cinderella story. It really is. So let's take a look at Ruth 1:1-22. And I know it's a lot, but you really need to hear the message. And I don't have all the scriptures up on the screen, so you can get out your phones, and I trust you're looking at your Bible. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came on the land. There was no food. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. They went a long way to find food. They went to a whole different country to find food. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. In other words, she went to this foreign country. They had to sell everything, moved to a foreign country, got there, her husband died, then her sons married, and 10 years later they died. So what happens to Naomi? She's destitute. She has nothing. She doesn't have an heir, she doesn't have anyone to take care of her, and she doesn't have any land to even return to. Verse 6 says, then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. It was a long journey. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. Marriage was a big deal. If you didn't have a husband, you weren't going to make it. You needed a husband to take care of you in those days. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. No, they said, we want to go with you to your people. But Naomi replied, why should you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who would grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were able to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. In this moment, Naomi felt that bitterness because she lost sight of God's goodness. Just for a short time, she felt so destitute, so lost, so hurting. Can you imagine losing your husband and both of your sons, losing everything? She felt so sad. There was a dark time in her life. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. These are the famous words that we use in weddings a lot of times. You can probably say them with me. Do you want to say them with me? Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. That word determined means that she had the audacity. She was strong and courageous and decided nothing was going to stop her. What do you think made Ruth want to follow Naomi? Why did she do that? Why did she want to leave her family? So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The women asked. So she's been gone for like 10 years, and the whole town is excited to have her come home. And then she says in verse 20, don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, call me Mara, because that means bitterness. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Did the Lord do all that bad stuff to her? Bad stuff happens to good people. That doesn't mean that God's turning his back. We all go through hard times, but you know what? God is always with us. She said, why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? So Ruth returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. First of all, this is point number one. Naomi knew God, and she had hope in his word. She didn't know it at the time. She kind of lost sight of it for a few minutes. But because of Naomi's strong faith, Ruth said those famous words in Ruth 1, 16 and 17. Don't ask me to leave and turn back. And she said, wherever you go, I will go. And what is the main thing? Your God will be my God. Your people, my people. I want to follow you. I want to be one of you. Naomi had something that Ruth wanted in her life. She wanted to follow the true and living God. You see, she followed the God of Chemosh. I'm not sure how to say it, but she followed that false God. And she knew that God could not hear her. That God could not answer her prayers. But she knew Naomi had a deep faith in God. I believe she saw something in Naomi and she said, I want that. I want to have some hope in my life. I want to believe in a true God. I'm tired of following this fake God. So, Ruth 1:14 says, again they wept together and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Let's take a look at that word clung. According to Strong's exhaustive concordance, it means abide fast, cleave fast together, follow close hard after, be joined together. A primitive root means to follow close, be joined, keep, overtake, pursue hard, stick, and take. So the word is derived from the Hebrew word davak, meaning to devote to God. The word for glue is davek, which likewise comes from the same root. Deuteronomy 10:20 says, "You must fear the Lord our God and worship him and cling to him." Miss Robin, how is that with your fingers right now? Like, are they stuck together still? She got super glue on her fingers this morning. That sticks pretty tight, right? Okay, so you know what? God wants us to cling to him. That word clung, she stuck so closely to her mother-in-law. She said, "I want what you've got. I want your God to be my God and your people to be my people." It's the same word as Pastor Chris said in Sunday school this morning in Genesis 2:24, where a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife. The two are united into one. They stick together. They are tight, like glue. It's the same word. Now, this is the funny part. I just had to put it in here. Almost put a picture, but I decided not to. But Jeremiah, God gave Jeremiah an illustrated sermon in the Bible in Jeremiah 13:11. I challenge you to read it. Does anybody know what that object lesson is? Anybody? Going once, going twice. Where's Brother Libby? Is he in here? Okay, anybody know? No peeking. Oh, okay, so your homework is to read Jeremiah 13, okay? God gave Jeremiah an illustrated sermon for the people of Israel because they were constantly falling into sin and doing wrong. And so God told Jeremiah that he had to get a loincloth, aka pair of underwear, or a belt. He had to wear it until God told him to wear it several days, and then he had to bury it and then pull it out. Crazy sermon, but God gave him an object lesson. And take a look at Jeremiah 13:11. It says, "As a loincloth," to me, that word means underwear. What do you guys think? Is that underwear? That's what Jesus wore when he was on the cross. Maybe he might have been wearing it. We don't know. But as a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. God wanted his people to cling as tightly to him as underwear. Okay, call me crazy, but I think that is pretty fun. I mean, that is pretty tight. You don't want your underwear being loose or they're going to fall down, okay? So cling tightly to God, okay? Cling as tightly to him as underwear, okay? That's, if you don't get anything else, you need to cling to God like underwear, okay? You know, I work with kids, okay? I just had to put that in there. So Ruth chose to stick to Naomi like glue. What made her make that decision? I believe that Naomi's faith in the true living God had a profound influence on her. Ruth wanted the hope that Naomi had, even though it was dimmed for a little while. I believe she was deeply influenced by Naomi's faith. Being raised in an Israelite home, Naomi taught scriptures and passed them on to her sons. Just like we talked about in the baby dedication this morning, you pass it on to your children. Let's look in Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. This is something she grew up doing. "So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, when you're getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land God swore to give your ancestors." I believe that Ruth saw something in Naomi's true God, Yahweh, that she did not see in her own false God. So in Ruth chapter 2, Ruth goes to work in the fields for a man named Boaz, who happens to be a relative. He offers protection for Ruth and invites her to keep working in his field. Let's take a look at Ruth 2, 10 through 12. "Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. 'What have I done to deserve such kindness?' she asked. 'I'm only a foreigner.' 'Yes, I know,' Boaz replied, 'but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother in your own land to live here among complete strangers. I love this. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. It's a metaphor, but it's about being under the wings, under the protection of God. Did you hear the message that was given to us this morning? As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, God protects. That just blessed my heart. Ruth went under the wings of protection of the Almighty God because she had a mother-in-law who had hope in the true and living God. Do you believe it? That word refuge is chaka, which means to have hope. Make refuge, put trust. Here's our word hope. Psalm 91:4 says, he will cover you with his feathers. One of my favorite verses. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. A mother hen can protect her chicks by pulling them under their wings, and our Father can protect us. We put our trust in him. You know, I love the word trust in sign language. Does anybody know what that word is in sign language? My roommate in college went to, she did deaf ministry, so she actually married a deaf guy. Miss Judy knows, holding onto a rope. Can you guys pretend like you're holding onto a rope? That means trust, just hanging onto a rope. So I brought my rope with me today. Okay, so I love that. In Romania, we had the opportunity to climb ancient ruins. And I'm telling you, the way was steep. And I don't know if you can see where my arrow is pointing, but there is a cable that was actually embedded into that rock, and you could hang onto that cable and pull onto it to help yourself up. Trust me, we were hanging onto that for dear life. But Tim and I actually made it up the hard way, up to the top of the ruins. But we pulled to get ourselves up. We trusted in that rope, in that cable. We trusted in it, that it wasn't going to fall, that it wasn't going to let us go. And that is the kind of trust that we're talking about here. But the trust also stands for the word hope, okay? And that's how we should feel about God. The word for hope, another word for the word hope in Hebrew is kavah. And I love another favorite verses. Maybe I'll say all of them are my favorite. Isaiah 40:31. You guys know this one. I'm sure you do. But this is about the eagles. If you know me, you know I love eagles. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now we think of the word wait as you're waiting in line. And you're getting impatient, right? You're waiting for the car to move. You're waiting for this, waiting for that. That's not what this word means. Flip it around to the word wait. When your waiter waits on you, they're not sitting down. They're bringing the food to you. They're serving you. So when we're waiting on God, we're serving him. We're worshiping him. We are waiting on him. And so this literal meaning, there are two meanings. The literal meaning of kavah is to bind or twist together like the strands of a rope. And so when we're talking about waiting on God, we're twisting our lives together with his, which is precisely what Ruth did with Naomi. She twisted her life around Naomi. She goes, I want to be part of your family. I want to be part of your God and serving your people. And so she bound her life to Naomi. She bound her life to God. And so Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait or wait on or hope in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So God wants us to bind ourselves to him. And not just to him, but to those people that are of like faith, to get our strength from reading his word and being in church, doing the things that will make us stronger in him. My point number two is because Naomi knew the Old Testament law and the customs of the day, she was able to give incredible advice to Ruth. So, of course, everybody knows your mother-in-law gives advice, right? That's what one of the things they're known for. Sometimes it's welcome, sometimes it's not so welcome. But Naomi actually gave good advice. She knew how the gleaners were instructed to leave the corners of the field for the poor and the foreigners to harvest. So she told Ruth, you're allowed to go and get the leftovers, the corners. They're supposed to leave the corners of the field, and you can go out and get those. She knew about the customs of a kinsman redeemer, which was provided when there was no male heir in the family. She knew how Ruth could show Boaz that she was willing to marry him. She actually, in a sense, instructed Ruth how to propose to Boaz, the first Sadie Hawkins. She really, really did. It's true. And Ruth followed Naomi's advice to the letter. So hope was the reward for both Naomi and Ruth as they trusted God to provide for them. Ruth didn't just happen to pick Boaz's field to glean in. God had a plan to provide a kinsman redeemer. So look in Ruth 4:14. This is the last point here. So Ruth says, then the women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. God provided a redeemer. It says, may this child be famous in Israel. They actually prophesied right then and there, because guess what? It came true. Because of the severe famine, Naomi and her family had to sell all their land, move to Moab, and when she returned 10 years later, she was destitute, had nothing at all. A family redeemer, usually the closest male relative, was the one who inherited the first right to buy a relative's land. However, they also were required to provide for extended family and marry the widow. So, let me get this straight. If my husband passed away, that would mean that my brother-in-law, Vic, would have to marry me? What? Oh, that's scary. Okay. Kind of crazy tradition, but that's the way it worked. And then he would marry me and provide a son for my husband's name. So there was another relative that was close, but he didn't want the wife. He wanted the property, but not the wife. And so he was able to give his rights over to Boaz. And if you want to read about the shoe, the contract was made by that man giving Boaz his shoe at the city gates. So there's your shoe, okay? So Boaz said these words to Ruth after she uncovered his feet in the middle of the night to make the marriage proposal. Okay. And Boaz said this, the Lord bless you, my daughter, Boaz exclaimed. You are showing even more family loyalty now than you did before, for you have not gone after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows that you are a virtuous woman. Ladies, where do you know that word? Those words, virtuous woman. Where do you see those in the Bible? Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. Ruth is mentioned as a virtuous woman. But guess what? It goes a little deeper. Let's dig a little deeper. I love this. This word suggests valor. It's the same word that is used when the angel spoke to Gideon in Judges 6:12. What did God say to Gideon? The Lord is with you, what? Mighty man of valor. Okay, why doesn't the scripture say, God is with you, mighty woman of valor? Says you're a virtuous woman. Oh, you're so perfect. You do all these. No, she was a woman of valor. She was a warrior. Ruth was courageous. She left everything to be a part of Naomi's family. And so Ruth was noticed by not only Boaz, but the whole town as being a woman of courage, even a hero, due to the love that she showed her mother-in-law. Once again, I want you to hear this. I believe there could not have been a Ruth without, what? Naomi. So, Boaz became a redeemer. You guys know about redeeming coupons, right? Coupons, when I was little, and this will date me for sure, but my mom collected S&H green stamps. You could redeem those stamps and get stuff back, right? You could even get dishes, like Pastor Tim. He actually got his dishes for our wedding that say bridal bouquet on the back from a grocery store by using those little coupons that you redeem, okay? So a redeemer turns in something to get something back, okay? They buy something back. And so Boaz was able to be that redeemer by buying the land back, but also providing an heir. So Jesus did the same thing. Boaz was a type of that Redeemer. Boaz was that type of Jesus. And he's a prophetic symbol. The New Testament represents Jesus as the ultimate Redeemer in the following ways. First, Christ has purchased our lives with his own blood, rescues our lives from being lost to sin. Secondly, Christ's merciful actions made it possible for us to be part of God's family and to receive eternal inheritance in the new heaven and earth. So we get the land and we get our souls redeemed. Pretty cool, right? So my challenge today is, this is to me too. Is there anybody in your life, maybe you don't even know who they are. Naomi didn't know at the time, but is there anybody in your life that would choose you to stick to like glue? Is there anybody in your life that's looking to you for some hope? Says, hey, you have something that I want. You have something I need. I want to cling to you. I want to follow you. I want to make your God my God. Is there somebody that you could be a Naomi to? What influence do you have on those around you? Are they being pointed to the Savior as a result of your life? We have the one thing in life every single person on this earth is longing for, and that is a relationship with our Creator. Whether they know it or not, He is the one who paid the price for our sins so we could know our Heavenly Father personally. He's our Redeemer. Let's choose to be intentional about how we influence those around us. Naomi had no idea of the eternal results of her decision to have such a deep faith in God. The amazing thing is, listen carefully, her grandson became the great-grandfather of King David, who in turn was in the line of Jesus. Remember the Cinderella story? Her grandson became royalty, backwards, I guess. I mean, her grandson, her family became royalty after Ruth chose to follow Christ. She ended up having family that became royalty. Let's put it that way. Your ordinary days matter. The Bible says, Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than people. I work in the public schools, and I can promise you this. People are watching your life. They're watching if you cut corners. They're watching if you are using good language, if you are talking about other people. They are listening. They are watching you. And they know something's different about you. They are watching. Your ordinary days matter. Whether you know it or not, you have an influence on those around you. People are watching your life and you have hope. You could be that glue that draws them to the Lord. I love this saying right here. Sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried. But actually, you've been planted. Naomi thought she didn't think about it. She knew she was in a dark place. She was in mourning. But God planted her, and her seed grew. And God gave her that son, that grandson, and she helped raise that grandson. God has amazing plans for you. Don't lose hope. Choose to trust in the Lord. And remember, God directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Psalm 37:23 and 24. So when we wait on the Lord, trust in, hope, intertwine our lives with Him, He's going to renew our strength. The more strands we have in our rope, the better. If you have some Christian friends in your life, that's going to help you be stronger. You read your word, you pray, you surround yourself with people that love God. It's going to make your rope strong. We all need a Redeemer. And I'm going to close by letting you know, if there's anybody here and you're saying, you know what? I don't have that hope. I want that. I want a Redeemer in my life. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, that everyone has sinned. We fall short of God's glorious standard. There's no way that we can, in our own way, be good enough to go to heaven. We can do all the good works that we want, but the harder we try, we are not going to make it without a Redeemer. Jesus is our Redeemer. All you have to do is believe. The Bible says, Isaiah 64:6, that we are all infected. Did you get that? I just caught that last night. We are all infected and impure with sin. As beautiful as these precious babies were this morning and children, when they were born, they had that seed of sin in their heart. Every single person that's born into this world is born with sin, except Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's why he could be that perfect lamb for us. So when we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. We can do nothing apart from God to become his child. So the Bible says in Acts 16:31, all we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. So my question to us today is, will you let him be your redeemer today? If you have not made him your redeemer, he already paid the price. He paid the price for you. All you have to do is accept it. Boaz paid the price for the field. He paid the price for his wife, for Ruth. And you know what? All she had to do was accept it. Say, yes, I want to be part of your family. So will you accept him as your redeemer? And my charge to those who do have a redeemer is to be the glue that draws someone to God by the way that we live. If you could all bow your heads with me today. I'm just going to ask you now, if there's anybody here that says, yes, I need that redeemer. I know I've messed up. I know I'm not where I need to be with God. I want to cling to God. I haven't been clinging to him very good. I've been kind of doing my own thing. Is there anybody here who could raise your hand and say yes? Yes, I want a redeemer. Just raise your hand straight up and right back down. Anybody today? All right. Is there anybody here today that would say, I want to be like glue for somebody? I want to be hope. I want somebody to put hope in God because of my life. Is there anybody here that would raise your hand up and say, yes, I want God to help me be like a Naomi? All right. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for your precious word. It is so full of your redeeming power and the fact that we have hope. We have you as our redeemer. God, we are so grateful. We want to live our lives for you. God, help us to be like Naomi, who has faith and hope in the true God, who even has good advice to give, and also someone who can point to you. So God, we ask that you would bless your people today, especially bless our moms today, and let them know that you have amazing plans. And even if they're in a dark place, that God, they are just planted and you have amazing things ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So your gift today is going to be a long-stemmed rose to let you know that you are loved. Attached to the ribbon, this is what my Sunday school class helped you with today, is a tube of super glue. Okay, the super glue is going to remind you to stick to God like glue, to cling to him, okay? So, ladies, you're going to get a tube of super glue. You're going to get a rose. You're going to get a little piece of wheat to remind us of the barley, but it's also to remind us of the seeds that were not buried, but they were planted, and God had amazing things in store.